You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's episode, it's all me, all solo, back-to-back days. Hope you guys enjoy that. I'm going to do two things today. In the first half of today's show, I'm going to preview the Pacers game against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday. Should be a good one, maybe a good win for Indiana. I'm not sure Kevin Love's supposed to play or not, but we'll break it all down and give you all everything you know about the game coming on Saturday. Then after that, for the second segment of this podcast, I will talk about an article by Bleacher Report that has the Pacers signing Malcolm Brogdon. I know it's hypothetical, probably not going to happen, but you know, I got a question from a fan out there, so I'm going to take that question, talk about it, and maybe turn into a more broader discussion about restricted free agency and free agency of 2019, because it's never too early to talk about the summer of 2019. Take a quick break and get today's podcast. Last season, the Pacers went 3-1 against the Cavs in the regular season. Obviously, totally different Cleveland Cavaliers team without LeBron James. On paper, this Pacers team is by and far way better than Cleveland. Cleveland has yet to win a game. They are 0-5 right now. They lost to Detroit tonight. I don't know if that puts them at 0-5 or 0-6, but they're bad. Let's put it that way. Kevin Love did not play. Of course, probably on Thursday night, so he did not play on Thursday night. I think he's probably day-to-day still or questionable for Pacers game on Saturday. We'll see if he plays or not. I don't have enough insight on that right now, but whether he plays or not, I don't see this being much of a trouble for the Pacers. Cleveland is a pretty bad team, let's put it that way. Without LeBron, who was basically carrying the team all last season, they're down to Kevin Love, some combination of J.R. Smith and George Hill, and Colin Sexton is maybe the most exciting player they have, really interesting. Then you got, like, you got Tristan Thompson, and that's, I mean, those are kind of the names, but nobody that great. Some of the stats just to look at, they are 29th defensive rating at 119 points per 100 possessions, 26th in offensive rating at 104 points per 100 possessions. You know, they're 14th in pace, but they're 25th and 26th in points per game versus in 26th in opponents' points per game. They are scoring 106 while letting up 120. They just are not good. Cleveland is just not a good team. And I don't know much to it. The one thing I predict for this game is it could be a big night for Victor Oladipo. I think there could be some resenting anger from last year's playoff series. And no matter what LeBron's up there or not, when Victor Oladipo steps on that Cleveland floor, he's going to remember Game 7. A lot of these players probably still remember Game 7 and want to kick some butt, to say the least, to kind of make up for the bad memories of that game. If there's obviously one player who will sort of shine for the Cavaliers who might give the Pacers fits, it could be Kevin Love. He's obviously averaging the most points for them right now at 19 per game. I don't know if he's going to play, but he's really just shooting a ton of shots, 16 per game. That's up from, I think, 11 per game in the Kyrie era. And I believe last season, Kevin Love took 12.5 per game starting the Kyrie era. He actually peaked at one point at 14, but usually with a 12 shots a game kind of player. He's up to 16.3 this season, which is more like where he was in Minnesota, where he's putting up almost 16 to 19 range in Minnesota. He's back to there, so he's putting up points. He's not really very efficient. He's 29% from three, 32% from the overall field. Not great. A grand total 37.7% effective field goal percentage. That's pretty miserable. Chetty Osmond, however you pronounce it, is basically their second best scorer at 14.8 points per game. He's also been okay. You know, a funny thing I heard this offseason was somebody, Cleveland fans, as an attempt to be hopeful, rejecting a leap from him. You know, I don't know about that, but he's going to get a lot of minutes. He's played 33 minutes per game so far, getting 13 shots a game. So I think he has the ball in his hands a lot, so I expect that. He does start for the team, so the starting lineup, basically, when Kevin Love is healthy, is a combination of Rodney Hood, George Hill, Chetty Osmond, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson. Against Detroit tonight, they threw out a lineup where they placed Love with Channing Frye, and then Rodney Hood also started. I believe I said that last segment. I think Rodney Hood, and last thing I said, Rodney Hood is their other starter. None of those guys are very good. None of those guys fit together that well. They are bringing J.R. Smith off the bench. It's worth noting in their loss to Detroit, J.R. Smith shot 0-for-7. He's always been a Pacer killer, so maybe he'll even out his stats and be more of like a 4-for-5 from 3-point shooter, where he was 0-for-4 in the Detroit game. On the Pacers side of things, I'm looking for Victor Oladipo to exploit, but if they start blowing them out, I could see a very evenly distributed box score again, maybe 10 or 11 guys double figures that we saw against Brooklyn. I don't expect the home crowd to be disadvantaged to this team. I think they're going to come out and rock them. There just isn't a lot to say about this game except for the fact that I think the Pacers are going to win handily in probably by second half. You guys can kind of pack it up and don't have to watch the game. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, that's kind of the, I guess, the sad part of the NBA right now is there are some really awful teams that the Pacers are somehow pretty good at beating the really bad teams. So sometimes by third quarters, you can give up. You can stop watching. You can go spend the Saturday night going out, whatever it is. And that's what I would recommend you do instead of really watching the second half of this game. If it's close, I will be eating my own words on our Tuesday podcast for the week. But it's not going to be close. I imagine Pacers win between, let's say, 20 and 30. 20 in the saves out of a case they go up by 30, but then give it back. I'll put it this way. At one point during tonight's game, they'll be up 30 points. At one point during the Cleveland game, they'll be up 30 points. The other thing to watch is Kevin Love. I think he should be on the trade market as soon as December. I know he signed that big extension, which is probably actually going to diminish his trade value. I do give Kevin Love props. He's been the punching bag of this team for basically five seasons. So good job getting his money, getting that 4-year, $120 million extension. I mean, he deserved that. I think if I put myself in Kevin Love's mind, he basically decided, I've won a ring. I've been the third best guy on a team. I was a really good guy back in the day. I've been hurt of injuries left and right. You know, he had concussions and broken hand. He's like, and this team, who I've played with for 5 years and been their punching bag, is willing to pay me like a max guy because they want to feel like they have a superstar because they lost their other superstar. And if they want to keep me, I like it here probably. I don't mind staying. I'm going to take the money and I'm going to just, kind of fade into the twilight of my career as kind of this guy who has a ring and will be remembered as maybe being on that upset team. But at the end of the day, it's about the money for him, which it should be. I mean, Kevin Love, with all his concussions and injury history, I would take that money in 5 seconds. I mean, Kevin Love's going to have made over $250 million in his career. That's incredible, and that's awesome for him. And, I mean, there are lots of guys who play this league a long time who don't make that kind of money. And, and at some point, as Kevin Love might have been a top five player before he went to Cleveland. He's been kind of what neutered into the Chris Bosh role of history. But, he has championships, so what does he care? He'll be one of those few players who has a championship, too. I mean, there are lots of Pacer players. Reggie Miller's one who played a lot of years, was a great player, and never really got a ring. So Kevin Love's got one ring. He has that over a lot of other guys. And Kevin Love might be a Hall of Famer someday. I don't want to say it right now. He probably has to play another 4 or 5 years at a decent level, but he could be a Hall of Famer at this point in his career. I mean, he is a very good power forward /center. I wouldn't call him, I don't know where I'd rank him, but I mean, those years in Minnesota, he was really good that year. He put up 26 points a game, did that twice actually in Minnesota. He was a really good player for the Cavs. He stopped Steph Curry in the NBA Finals Game 7, so he's a 5-time All-Star. I think if he played the whole year this year, he'd probably be an All-Star again. We'll see if he actually does, but he could. On the Pacers side of things, one more thing to note is if Kevin Love doesn't play, I wonder if Miles Turner can pull Tristan Thompson from the basket and really have a really solid game. Thompson gave both Turners the bonus fits when he finally played in Game 7 in last year's playoff series and kind of flipped that series for them. But overall, I think it should be a good game for the Pacers. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win by a lot of points. That's what I'm predicting. Take a quick break, and I'm going to talk about a hypothetical question from a fan. All right, welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast. One of our listeners at Doggy Doige, Jacko at Doggy Doige, one of our followers sent us a question, mailbag question, and I decided why not answer this. Just so you guys know, if you tweet at me at FreedomAdam5, usually my business podcast, just send me a question. So I'll answer them in the second segment. It gives me ideas. It helps. I'm willing to talk about any kind of thing that's interesting to me, so if it's a good question, I'm happy to answer. So his question is, hi guys, what are your thoughts on the latest Bleacher Report article, RE 2019 Restricted Free Agency, in particular the prediction Brogdon signs a 4-year, $64 million deal with the Indiana Pacers if the Bucks don't match? I read the article after he sent it to me. I had not seen it before this, so thanks for pointing that out, Jacko. That was really nice of you. I am hesitant to think that Brogdon leaves. Just because the Bucks are going to be in this mindset where they're going to overachieve this year. So they're going to win, say, 55 games, maybe. I mean, it's probably on the high end, but let's say they win 55 games and they're a 3 seed and they make the Eastern Conference Finals. And there's going to be all this talk where they just run it back. They're close. Maybe they're one piece away, they say, but like they're really close. So the problem with the Bucks is that they're going to have to re-sign Middleton. They'll have to re-sign Brogdon. They don't really have the catch because they go forget another guy, so they'll have to resign those guys. So they'll bring everybody back and running back probably, and maybe use one of the guys as a trade asset in the future, but that's the only way they kind of improve. You know, you don't let Brogdon walk for free because he's an asset. He's such a low cap hold that you can do other stuff and then sign him to his extension. Obviously, early on, because he gets signed by a deal, that could screw things up. But ultimately, you keep Brogdon because he's an asset. Even if he signs, let's say, a four-year, $64 million, it's a little bit overpaid for him, or maybe a lot overpaid, depending on where you value him. He becomes an asset if you want to trade for the next superstar to complain once out, because he is a contract right in that kind of value range. You piece him together with somebody else, you can make a move. I mean, you can make a move. I'm thinking, if I'm Milwaukee, the move is probably DiVincenzo and Brogdon and something else for, like, Lillard. They really want it. You know, that's, like, way out-of-the-box trades. But, you know what I mean? And then you throw out a lineup of Lillard, Middleton, Giannis, and that's three pretty dang good players who could definitely compete in the East and maybe even compete for an NBA championship, depending where Giannis reaches at his best. On the Pacers side of things, I see this as kind of an unreasonable move. I don't see the Pacers bringing in a guy like Brogdon because I don't see how he is an upgrade over what they have currently. Brogdon's a good player, and that's nothing to say against Brogdon. But I see the Pacers more likely to bring back a guy like Evans and bring in a whole new guy in the sense. And, or, you know, I see Darren Collins leaving at the end of the year. But they have Corey Joseph, and they've got Aaron Holiday out there. And I just don't see them signing a kind of, I mean, I know you can play Brogdon at the point guard or shooting guard spot. He's, you know, he's a decent scorer. He shoots 37.3% this season so far. He's 38 and 40 the past 2 years, so he's a good three-point shooter. I don't see the need to bring a guy there for that kind of money. It feels like it's a kind of another mediocre move. I guess he's young. It'd be a young-ish guy. He'd be 27 years old. He is young-ish, but I don't see the Pacers wanting to make that move unless, you know, Tyreke Evans is a bust this year. Then Corey Joseph, they don't want to bring back. And Darren Collison, they want to bring back. I mean, if all three of those guys are just terrible, maybe they do. But I see them more signing, like, Evans to a two-year, $30 million extension. That's what I see next summer is kind of what's happening. Then going on and spending money on Brogdon. I think they believe in Aaron Holiday, and they want to give Aaron Holiday a shot, and Brogdon kind of blocks that. Plus, Brogdon's kind of a similar player to Evans, where he plays the shooting guard, point guard spot. He can do both. It's kind of Evans, better defense than Evans, but that's kind of it. I could see why, you know, if everything else is a bust, the Pacers try to sign Brogdon, but I just, you know, in terms of 2019 free agency, I think they're looking for bigger fish or more a small forward. I don't see point guard as being a concern spot right now. I see small forward, power forward even, being number two and then point guard. And I'm not sure Brogdon's a huge upgrade over what you've got now or bringing back what you've got now, especially at that price. I mean, I understand the Pacers are going to have to always pay, I call it a 10% premium for being in a small market in Indiana. Love Indiana, but it's true. They have to pay a 10% premium, maybe even 20% on certain guys. Look at McDermott's contract. McDermott was 3 years, 22. They had to pay a premium of, he's probably worth 3 years, 15. They had to pay a $7 million premium, so that's 40% or 50% premium just to get him to Indiana. It's why I see he would make $60 million. I don't see them giving that contract. I know the Pacers need to try to do things to make Vic want to stay, and that's kind of next offseason. That's the big move, is you got to get guys to make Vic stay. But I see the Pacers move next offseason as trading Turner at this point. I mean, they signed an extension that it could be at the right value for his defense, and they get the right offer for him. It's a bonus, is still on the team and playing in the world. They could do that. But, you know, I think you got to kind of see how this goes before you can predict things like that. I don't like to see what happens. You don't have to broad. You could get hurt or whatever. You don't know what could happen this season. He could be a complete bust with this team. I mean, they could fall apart at some point, and Brogdon is the reason for that because he doesn't fit with these guys. But I believe the finishing five for the Bucks is probably going to be Brogdon, DiVincenzo, Middleton, Giannis, and who am I blanking on at the moment on their team? Oh man, this is going to kill me, who I'm blanking on, who they're going to finish with. They did against the Pacers. They closed out with the fifth guy. That was pretty good. Was it John Henson? No, I'm sorry, Bledsoe. So I guess isn't Bledsoe free? I believe Bledsoe's a free agent next season, so I can see them getting rid of Bledsoe before I see them getting rid of Brogdon, I guess. You know, I am a believer in DiVincenzo. He's looked really good, so I think he's kind of the future of their shooting guard spot. But I don't know, I just don't know if I see them letting Brogdon walk. I mean, he's too much of an asset. So it is the last year of Bledsoe's deal. I could see Bledsoe walking for sure in the offseason. I mean, you know, his playoff performance last year was pitiful, to say the least. Was really bad in the playoffs. But I just don't see them letting Brogdon walk. He was rookie of the year for them. I know he was one rookie of the year in the down year, but he was a good rookie for them. He's a solid player, defense. He fits what they want. Long bodies, plays good defense, is a decent passer. Doesn't, you know, you don't need the ball in his hands all the time because you have Giannis, and if you have DiVincenzo, and, you know, I mean, those four, I guess, with the fifth guy in their lineup would be, like I said, would be maybe an Eric John Henson, or maybe you find another guy, go and get another small forward type of player, you figure something out. But that's all I can see. I mean, I think they've been playing Lopez, technically. I know DiVincenzo's off the bench, so that's, but I think DiVincenzo is obviously their future shooting guard. I thought he looked good against the Pacers. I don't know about the rest of them. He's not putting up a ton of points, but he looked decent against the Pacers, I thought. So that could be their future for this team. But I don't see the Pacers making a move like that in the offseason, barring a complete drop in their point guard play. As always, Locked On Pacers podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, me at FreedmanAdam5, or Tone, my co-host Tony East at TeastNBA. Like I said, if you tweeted us questions like that, we'll answer them on the show. I'll take fan questions. It's much easier to do a podcast when you got kind of fan questions going out there. As always, you can catch us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. That's all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again Monday.